Good to see you tonight. I have kind of a little different message than I was expecting to have, so just go ahead and tell you it was surprising to me too. And praise the Lord. And tonight, there's three reasons that I want to give you this message. And you know, just preface it a little by saying people tend to fall within two categories. There's many categories of people, but people tend to fall between being, you know, big picture people and people that, you know, can hone in and get it done. And I happen not to be the people that can hone in and get it done. If you need somebody to get it done, you should call my mom, but don't call me because I can't hardly do anything. And then there's the big picture people. I got that covered. I can do the big picture. And so tonight, I just want to talk to you about the big picture. And there's really three reasons that I have this in my heart and want to share it with you tonight. And the first one is for you. Because we are told in the scripture, James talks about and he describes it this way. He says, you're like the man that walks in and he looks at his reflection in the glass. And you see who you are and then you walk away and you immediately forget who you are. You forget what manner of man you are. You forget who you are. You forget what you have. And a lot of times I feel like that's kind of how church is. You know, you come to church and we tell you who you are, we remind you what you have, and then you walk out the doors and by the time you get in the car, you kind of just forgot all that, and the worries of life come back on you and you go back into life, and you don't really live in the reality of who you are. So I'm just going to remind you tonight of who you are, because this, what I'm talking about tonight, is something you need to think about all the time, something you need to meditate on. Honestly, something you need to just have top of your mind. And in fact, really what I'm going to talk to you about tonight really forms the basis of everything else that you think. It all falls within this framework that I'm going to share with you tonight. So that's one reason I'm sharing this with you. The second reason is this. What I'm going to talk about here tonight, I cannot stress to you how incredibly vital it is that you share what I'm sharing with you tonight, that you share it with your children. And that you build this into them so much so that this is the way they see life. I just can't even communicate that enough to you. I tell you, there's so many things. Lindsay was talking earlier, she was receiving the offering, she was talking about how there are things that the world tells you to do. And you know, in the same way, there are a lot of things the world tells us, or the world's wisdom, or in fact, it might just seem like good wisdom to do certain things with your kids. There are just certain things that you need to teach and train your kids in. But, you know, there are many things that we could go around and we could share. What do we need to teach our kids? What do we need to train them in? And we could come up with this long list of things. But I tell you, nothing that you could put on that list would compare to what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. And, you know, I often, Matt and I have four kids that we've almost raised. We're still trying to get Grayson raised. Y'all pray for us. But, we went up this past weekend and visited this last part of last week and visited our oldest daughter, who's going to be 28, looks like really soon. How can this possibly be? And her husband, and we were meeting them and with them. And Matt and I left there and said, who raised that girl? She's pretty good. Whoever raised her did a pretty good job. So anyway, you know, but it's tough training your kids. But I tell you, if you don't put this in them, forget putting everything else in them. It don't really matter, honestly. So it's big. This is big with me, what I'm talking about tonight. And then the third reason I'm talking about this is because this is what you need to share with other people. Because you know what? Other people don't know this. They don't know what I'm about to share with you tonight. They just don't know. And there's a very real reason they don't know. It's because many people don't know, because there's someone that you can't see that's standing behind them, around them, with them, and is doing this. And this is going on, and they can't see. And how are they gonna come to the knowledge of the truth unless someone shares the truth with them and that deception departs and the blind eyes are open? They're not going to know. So this is really, really important. So I asked Nate to give me this wire because I figured I could use a prop. I don't normally use props because I get lost and forget what I'm doing. I'm better at talking than I am propping. So, but we're going to try here tonight. You know, one night Randy Mitchell was here and he used this little wire, not this one. He had a better wire. But this is Nate's wire, though, so I'm very proud of it. And Nate let me bother and touch and hold his very own guitar wire. So I'm very happy with that tonight. I'm honored. Okay, so here is what I want to talk to you about. And it's this. In the beginning. Now, I wasn't there in the beginning, and you weren't either. And we don't really know much about the beginning. And, you know, the way we understand God, He always has been and He always will be. So try to figure that one out another time. Don't get lost with that tonight. Because that really doesn't matter. There was some beginning for us. And that's just about all we need to think about. What was before us? I don't know. We could muse about it all night. I got great theories, but none of it really matters. But at some point, we started. So say right here is the beginning, and we call that beginning creation. Now, whatever your theory about creation is, how it happened, whether it happened in seven actual 24-hour periods, which is kind of interesting because the reason we have a day being 24 hours is because of the sun. And the sun didn't exist for the first several of those days, so I'm not really sure how we get that. But it doesn't really matter whether you think that those days referred to in Genesis are, you know, eras or ages or time periods or whatever. It doesn't really matter. The gist of it all is that God made heaven and earth. So whatever you want to interpret it all to be, I don't really care, honestly. Is that okay? It was going to be okay anyway. No, it was okay. I'm serious. No, I don't. None of that matters. The deal is God made us, all right? And He created the heavens and the earth, and He made us. So that's the part I want you to think about is creation and when God and man was made. So that's the beginning of us. That's the beginning of all that we really need to be concerned about is in the beginning. And let's just talk about that for a minute. Creation. What happened at creation? Only thing I know about creation, the only one that I know who was at creation is God, because I don't know anybody else that was there. And He inspired by His Spirit some guy named Moses to write it down, and so I can read about it. Thank God for that whole process. And so from those writings, we know some things. And one thing we know is when God made man, He formed him from the dust of the earth, but then He breathed His life into him. And He made man in His image and in His likeness. So that's one thing we know. And that's an important thing for all of us to know. When we were made in God's image and likeness. Now, Hebrew scholars believe that not only was man made in God's image and likeness, but that the earth was made in heaven's likeness. Now, I can't prove that, but, you know, again, it's an interesting thought. But somehow or another, it does make sense to me that if man was like God, that man's habitat would be like God's habitat. So that earth would be like heaven when it was created and formed. So that's the beginning. That's our beginning. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to talk to your kids about that, the beginning of man. And that man was made originally in God's likeness and image. But somewhere along the way, and we don't know exactly when, I don't know, you know, how many days, weeks, months, or years from the beginning to the day that Adam and Eve ate from the tree. I don't know when that was, but say it was over here. So right here we have this thing we call the fall of man. Y'all remember the fall? The fall of man is that God had told Adam, given him some really simple instructions. There's a lot of trees here, a lot of good stuff. Have at it. Except for that one right over there. If you eat from that, it's poison. It's going to kill you. Don't do it. But you know the story. A slithering serpent came in, deceived Eve. Adam went along. They ate the fruit. And that day, something so tragic happened that there's never, ever, ever before or ever since in man's history has anything that even approaches it happened. It was so tragic. Now, I want to stop right here because I want to just say something. The longer that I study the Scripture, the more I study the Scripture, the more apparent it becomes to me that we don't have any idea what really happened that day. Because we think, oh, man sinned. Man fell. We have all these kind of nice words to describe what happened. I've told, some of you have heard many times the story, the day I was studying about man and his origin and some of the things that happen in terms of righteousness, what I was studying it in, the Lord spoke to me and said, you have no idea how far you fell. And we don't. We have no idea. And as a result of the fall and what happened, we don't realize how far, not just man, all of mankind and everything that man was over. We have no idea how far everything fell. And we have no idea really how far below the will of God and the plan of God that we are in. You know, really, I think of it in these terms. I think of this to myself, and sometimes I even say these words to myself. We live in a sewer, and we don't even know it. Now imagine that you were a little, you know, scurrying beetle, and you lived in a sewer, and you thought you were in, you know, Kauai. You don't even know Kauai exists. All you know is the filthy sewer. That's your whole world. And that's the same for man. Where we live and the life that we know is so far removed from the life of God as far as what planet Earth is like. It's just utter, complete chaos and a big old mess. I was meeting with some people here just the last few days and was talking to a young woman. And she said, and I just thought, boy, this just pretty much summed it up. She said, people are nasty. And I'm telling you, in their unregenerated state, people are nasty. And life on planet Earth is nasty. I mean, we can, you know, make it nice some moments. Thank God we have Christmas to try to pretend it's all just, you know, mistletoe and caroling. But life is, as far as planet Earth, it's bad, y'all. And that's all because of what happened that day. And we need to understand this day was a big, big, big day. And this is the day, I tell you, God's will was not done that day. And, you know, for people that think God's will is automatically done, they should just read the first couple of chapters of Genesis. Because God plainly stated what His will is. His will, don't eat the tree. But they did. Boom. And death came. Now, I just want to move on. We'll come back and visit that just in a minute. But then, so we have the fall of man and the... I actually wrote some notes down just, you know, make y'all feel better. And so after we had the fall of man, man was in a predicament because he was far from God. He was kicked out of the garden, had nothing to do with God, and had no approach to God. But God, in His infinite mercy, decided to make an approach to man. And he did several things, but one of the, probably the biggest thing he did is he came to a man named Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I'm going to do some things for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your friend. And in doing that, if you'll work with me here, through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. That's the blessing of Genesis 12 when God said, I'm going to bless you, but hey, the big deal is I'm going to bless every family in the earth. And His plan to bless every family in the earth was to get us out from under the big mess we just fell into. To get us out of the sewer. So He made that what we call covenant with Abraham, and there's a whole lot involved with that. And we move along. And through Abraham and his covenant with God, God made a way for what? Somebody said it. Jesus. Wasn't a trick question. Jesus. That's always the answer in children's church. Claire, remember? When the kids don't know what to say, when you ask a question, if they don't know the answer, it's Jesus. And so I think it's the same in youth, isn't it? If they don't know Jesus, that's the answer. So we'll be that can be our answer tonight. Jesus. Okay. So what is it that came? Jesus. Now, Jesus coming's a big, big deal. Some people, they don't ever think about it except Easter time or maybe when they come to church or grandma or something like that. But Jesus coming is something everybody should think about every single day, because this is the greatest, biggest deal of anything that ever happened. Jesus. And totally changed everything. Because Jesus came to reverse this thing that happened over here. This fall thing. Jesus came, the Bible calls him in Romans the second Adam. And so he came to do right what Adam did wrong. And he did it right. And because he did it right, then he could die the death that Adam was due. And he died Adam's death, which was the death we were all living under, subject to. Thank God. And God raised him up from the dead. And through that process of his death, burial, and resurrection, and all that was entailed with that, we'll talk a little more about it, he made available to us this incredible gift that we call salvation. So now, since Jesus right here, there's salvation available. Every day of this salvation, this incredible gift, salvation. Now somewhere along here, you showed up. So right about right here, on my little wire, is you. You showed up and you were born. You were born, thank God you were born on this side of Jesus because you could get the gift. But you weren't born with the gift. You were born in the same place that your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpappy back here, Adam, left you. But thank God that between Adam and you, right there, was Jesus. But I'm going to say this. When you were born, one of the questions, all four of my kids had a class when they were in high school. I'm not sure which class it was. But they all had a class because they all came home and talked about this. Because they had something interesting happen in their class. In their class, they all had to answer this question, write a paper, and have a big discussion with their class. And this was the class. Is man inherently good? So they all came home to talk to us about it because they were the only ones in their class that said, no, man is not inherently good. But everybody else in their class was arguing them down because man is inherently good. What do you mean people aren't good? You know, in the heart, everybody's good. They're good people. They're just, you know, there's a few bad people, but most people are good. And a lot of people think that. You know what's really sad? A lot of Christians think that. But I'm going to tell you, every person that shows up on planet Earth, they're in the same sad predicament that Adam was in after he sinned. Now, me and you don't like that because me and you like to think of bad people. We like to think of them bad people over there. And we're not like those bad people. That's one way we make ourselves feel better. But in reality, the baddest, baddest guy that ever lived, you're as bad as him. It's true. There's not like good people and kind of bad people and really terrible people and really evil and wicked. It's not. But I'm telling you, most Christians think that. But it's not. There's just two people on the planet, guys. Only two. There's Adam and there's Jesus. And if you're not in Christ, you're an Adam, and that's who you are. You're bad. And you're not even bad because of what you do. You're just bad because you were born bad. Flawed. We'll talk about that. So there we are. Where are we? We showed up and we were bad. The Bible uses that phrase, dead in our trespasses and sins. What does that even mean? It means you're bad. It means you're going to do bad, you want to do bad, and you live your life to do bad. A lot of other stuff. I'll read you a scripture about it. So, there you are. But you, it's Wednesday night at Good News Church. Thank God for you. Because at some point, you likely, while you were living, you received the free gift. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute. When you got the free gift of salvation, what happened? What? You were born again. Forgiven. Got a new nature. Yeah, you know, did you say that again? You became a new creation. Yeah, we'll read that scripture. You become a new creation. That's an awesome thing. But you know, before you were actually born again, in a moment, something else happened. What? The old you died. Absolutely. See, y'all a lot smarter than you think you are. That's it, Terry. The old you died and a new you was born. And sometimes we skip over the old man dying and we just go straight to the new man being born. But the old man died. And that's a really important point, that the old man died, because this guy needed killing off, because he was bad. He lived in the sewer because he deserved to live in a sewer, because he was a sewer dweller. He needed to be killed off. Thank God he got killed off and we were born again. Woo! That's a good day. So now here we are. Now right over here, this is eternity. Now I don't know where we're going with eternity. I mean, we're going to live forever, so it could just keep going. But I do know, we'll put that out over here because that's just way beyond me, just like that part over there. But the Bible does tell us some things that are ahead. It doesn't tell us about the eons to come necessarily, except that God's going to spend them showing us his kindness. The Bible does tell us that. But other than that, it tells us a couple of things. One thing that's going to happen is somewhere in here, the devil is going to get his due for good. Lake of fire and bottomless pit are both in his future. So that's pretty good. So the devil is no more, at least as far as we're concerned. And then 2 Peter tells us something really interesting, and this is something I like to think about, and I talk about this a lot. My mom will tell you. 2 Peter tells us that there is coming a grand renovation, and that all that we know and see and that we're acquainted with, all of the earth and all of heaven, is going to be burned. Now, it's going to be some fire. It's going to be burned up. And we're getting a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. So that's out here somewhere. It's going to be awesome. I was thinking about that the other day because, again, I can't do much, but I can really think. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about the fact that when we go through that time that Peter told us about, of this burning of heaven and earth and all that we know, that the only thing that's coming out on the other side of the fire, the only thing worth saving is us. That's it. Nothing else is going to make it through the fire. Just us. We're the only thing of any value. That's pretty cool. If you want to estimate your value, think about that. All of heaven and earth is going to burn up, but not you. You're making it through. Awesome. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So y'all see that? Now this is pretty important stuff. I know we covered a lot of stuff there. But I'm telling you, again, this is your reference point for all of your life. The decisions you make, they need to be based on this. The life you live, what you do with your time, what you do with your money, what you think about, what you devote your life to, your family values, what you train your kids in, the way they think about themselves, the way they think about the world. It's all got to be based on what I just went through with you. It's the deal, man. They got to know this. You got to know this. And you got to tell other people about it, because people don't know that. A lot of these things, people don't know. And don't get caught up on the burning of the new heaven and the new earth part, because that ain't the biggest part. That's interesting, but it's not the biggest part. They got to know. I feel like just wrapping this thing around me here. So they got to know about the new heaven and the new earth, and not that part. They got to know about Jesus. Now, let's talk for a minute about, let's go over here, couple of things, because y'all like scriptures and stuff. Yeah. You're wondering, 15 minutes, is she going to have a scripture? I gave you a bunch of scriptures. You just maybe didn't have the references. Okay. All right. We know when God made man, that's up here at the beginning, he gave him dominion and authority, right? It's really important, gave him dominion and authority. And so the really terrible thing that happened, because God had given man dominion and authority, whenever Adam fell right here, that dominion and authority, he lost it. But he didn't lose it like I can't find it. He lost it in the sense that he gave it over to God's enemy. And he fell, and he didn't just kind of, just fall out of God's grace. He fell in and under and became enslaved by God's enemy. That's what the Bible says. We became slaves of sin. And we were under the dominion of darkness. And not only that, because of that high treason that Adam committed, the whole earth then came under the dominion of the devil himself. And now, as a result of that, the whole world, 1 John 4:19 says, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. See, there's scripture. Man. See, right there, don't you think that's something you need to think about? Because when you're dealing with a world, do you know what you're dealing with? You're dealing with the world that's under the sway of the wicked one. You're not just dealing with people and stuff. There are forces that you don't see with your physical eyes. In fact, Ephesians tells us that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we sure spend a lot of time wrestling with them. But it's a vain thing to wrestle with flesh and blood, because what we're really wrestling with are the forces, the powers that are operating behind them, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness. Those things, you're dealing with those things. You think this is important for your kids to know? You think it's important for you to think about when you're on your job? You're not just dealing with the guy that's sitting on the other side of the desk. You're not just dealing with whatever situation's going on. You're dealing with this world system that lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's pretty tough, man. There's better news, but that's a bad spot right there. All right, now, after the fall of man, there was no escaping. We lived in that sewer, no escaping it. And let's just talk for a minute about us when we showed up. Because we had Jesus. I'm not going to camp out on Jesus because we talk about Jesus a lot. I want to talk about us for a minute. And when we showed up in that terrible place, Nate's going, why did I let her have my cord? It's helping me. Okay. Here, put up Ephesians chapter 2. Let's read these scriptures. These are really important scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I say that phrase all the time, dead in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? In which you once walked according to the course of this world. Now, who's in charge of the world? I just told you. The whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that Satan is the god of this world, little g. He's the one in charge here. So here is when it says that when you walk according to the course of this world, do you know who you're walking according to? You're walking according to the devil himself. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? Everybody, when they showed up on planet Earth. Among whom we all, listen to this, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, that's the old man. And were by nature, our very nature, children of wrath, just as the others. We're all in the same boat. Romans 5:10 tells us that we were enemies of God. See, I just want you to see who you really were. You were an enemy of God. Some of you have been saved for so long, you don't really remember what it used to be like. And here's the thing. When you were an enemy of God, it wasn't so apparent to you. That's part of the deception. You weren't. There's a lot of people, they don't know that they're an enemy of God. They don't even believe there is a God. They're deceived. And then we're just so limited by, you know, there's the trees and the birds and there's the sky. And here's my job and here's my money and my car. And there's my kids and they're hungry and I got to feed them. And there's my husband and he's mad at me again. And dear God, the doorknob is sticking again. And this is what our life is consumed with. And we never stop and think what's really happening. What's really the truth and what's really going on. And that, my friend, is so terrible because that's where most people live all the time. And sadly, even Christians are just so caught up in all this that we never stop and think what's really going on. And y'all, one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and everything we know will be totally gone. But we'll still be here. Big picture. Now, pretty tough. Now, we go through that death in a moment. Thank God, Terry. Thank God. She just left. Thank God. She go see about the children's. Thank God for that death that we died in a moment. But it is interesting to me. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17. It is interesting to me that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, you know, on the down low to talk to him, because he really wasn't going to look good with all his friends if they saw him talking to Jesus. And Jesus made that statement to him in John chapter 3 when he said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus couldn't figure out what in the world he was talking about. Interesting that Jesus used those words, "born again." And then we're going to read here in 2 Corinthians, and it talks about being a new creation. Those are kind of interesting words. I mean, there's no other place where we ever would conceive of being born again. It's interesting that those are the words that are used to describe this experience of receiving this gift, of this receiving the redemption and restoration to God. And notice, he didn't say you must be forgiven. He said you must be born again. Forgiveness, being forgiven, is not enough. We have to become new people, because the people that we were, the people that were enemies of God, that were by nature children of wrath, those people who were dead in their trespasses and sin, those people who were under the dominion of darkness, those people who were slaves of sin, those people, there was nothing in that person that could go on living. There was nothing in that person that could even be fixed up to stand with God. There was nothing of that person. So that person died and a whole new person came. We were born again. Now you could just meditate on that from now on and you still won't get the fullness of that. Boy, that's a big deal. I mean, the first birth we go through is a huge deal. It's an amazing miracle. My mom always says that the most amazing thing is that there's 7 billion people on earth, because every one of those people has a mama. And it's amazing that you could get a woman or women 7 billion times to go through that, to have a person. No offense to those who might be pregnant, but it's pretty crazy. That's a really big deal. Being born again is a much bigger deal. It's a big, 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 big deal. And sometimes I'm telling you, we come to church and we forget. It's a huge deal that you're born again. And it's a huge deal that we are able to help people be born again. It is such a huge deal. And we don't, I mean, we go days and don't think about it. But don't forget my birthday. It's so funny. We make such a big deal of our natural birthday when this is so much of a bigger deal. And it's interesting. Well, we'll read 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 is, if anyone is in Christ, that means that old man died and he was born again in Christ, he is a new creation. That's just a strange word. It's not who we used to be, but fixed up. It's a completely different being that never existed before. So we're very different than who we used to be. And this is so critical for you to know and understand about yourself. You are a different person. You're a different person. You're a new creation. You have a completely new function, purpose. You have new characteristics. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Boy, this is one of those scriptures we just beat up, and we put it on too many cards and little sayings and stickers, and we've just ruined the scripture, but it's so powerful. We've just made it some quaint little Christian saying. Y'all, everything that we were is gone. That's why when we get a new heaven and a new earth, we make it through, because we already went through that process. We already did it. And only those that already did it will make it through this. New heaven, new earth, and us, because we're new in Christ. All right. Now, All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So here we are, right over here in this little time. Then this is what Randy talked about when he was here, if y'all heard him. This little time of our lives in this whole thing, this little bitty time. We now, we've received this new life and we have this little bitty time on planet Earth before we depart for eternity, before our physical bodies die. So we're here, our natural body's born, we're born and dead in our trespasses and sins. Somewhere along in here, we're reborn in Christ, and we have this little smidge of time to do something here on the earth before our physical bodies expire and we have to depart the earth. And y'all, the news is, when your physical body expires, you leave earth. You don't hang around and visit with your kin folks. You go. The Bible tells us you go to heaven. I'm telling you, Christians believe that. I know. She's going to be here with you forever. I mean, that might sound comforting for a moment, but it's a lie. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And according to the scripture, he's seated at the right hand of God on high. So that's where you are. That's a lot better than hanging out with you, too. I mean, you might want them hanging out with you, but they want to be over there. I ain't going to be hanging out here. I'm going. Woo! Okay, so here we are. This little bit of time right here. We were born again, and our physical bodies are going to expire. And we're going to step off into eternity. Lots of things going to happen. The devil's going to be put away with, thank God. And we get a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, but before that, we got this little time. And this, as far as you're concerned, is the most important time of all. In this whole thing, this is the big deal time, because this is the time you can do something. You couldn't do anything about what was going on when you showed up. Really, and when you were even physically born, you couldn't do a lot until the day you called on the name of the Lord, because up until that point, you were a slave of sin. So really, you got free. I mean, Frank sings all the time, no more bondage, no more chains. We are free. We got free. But then we're going to leave. So we've got that little bit of time right there. That's a big deal. We need to be thinking about what are we doing that little bit of time we got. Because I'm telling you, most of what we do with that little bit of time ain't worth nothing. Because it's going to burn. I'm pretty excited for Wednesday night. Half y'all are asleep. I'm just telling you. Maybe I'll get wrapped up in the cord and choke myself, and then you'll get excited. I'm telling y'all, this is a big deal. It's all we got. This is it. Y'all, everything I'm telling y'all is, it's true. This is the truth, y'all. What I'm telling you is true. You need to remember this, because this is all that really matters, guys. This is it. Nothing else matters. And you think, well, you know, my 401k, that matters. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, I got to have that new pair of shoes. That matters. No! It don't matter. So many things we live our lives for and they don't matter. I'm telling you, doesn't matter at all. What are we doing? I just think we all just fill our lives with so many things. They don't matter. What matters? Well, last week we found out what mattered. He, our Lord, is 100% in charge. Let's start with that. Let's just start right there. I really enjoyed that last week because I felt like that was the most freeing message I've heard in a long time. Because I just sat there. If you weren't here, you got to get last Wednesday night. Nate ministered and he talked about how when Jesus is our Lord, he's 100% in charge. And it just freed me up because I realized that instead of me having to figure out anything in life, that what I must do is obey him. So like, all the effort and all the stuff just kind of slid off. And I'm like, I just need to do what he tells me to do. What he said in his word. What he speaks to me by his spirit. And then he has grace for me that enables me to do it. No wonder he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. boy, that's a so much easier way to live. Jesus is Lord. You're 100% in charge. So I start with being obedient to His Word. And it's a whole lot more than just being a good person. We've reduced Christianity to try to be a good person, be kind. Last night we were talking in Kate and somebody was saying, being a Christian doesn't mean you just go around being sweet. Jesus wasn't famous for being sweet. But that's somehow another, in the American church, we've reduced it to that. Just be sweet. Come to church and be sweet, at least while you're here. What you do when you're not here, we don't care. We don't want to know. But be sweet while you're here. And pretend you're sweet out there. It's so ridiculous. What kind of game are we playing? This is a big deal, y'all. We got to live for Him. We got to do what He tells us to do. We got to use this time, like I've said to you a thousand times, the only reason for us to even be here instead of just going on to here, the only reason to be here is what Paul said. I could depart and be with Christ, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to be with you. That's far better, but I'm staying here because you need me. So the only reason is for other people. That's it. And predominantly to reach them and to train them. To win them and to disciple them. And pretty much all the rest of the stuff we do just supports that. And if we work jobs, it's just to support that. And whatever else we do is just to support that. And when we go and get our hair cut, and Jose gives us a really great hairstyle, it's just so we'll be a little more acceptable to people when we show up to do this. But it ain't about our hair or our lack of it, Justin. It ain't about it. I'm telling you. That's what we all need to do. Because we'd have a lot more time to do this. I know you would. And you would. Kristen's telling me how long it takes to dry our hair. Kristen, talk with Justin. You're going to have more time to do this. I know I'm being silly, but you guys, we just spend our whole life doing everything else. This is the only part that matters. Right here. Now I'm going to tell you this. If you want to help your kids, teach them this. Talk to them about this. Just every day. Ask them, like, what are you doing with this little part? What are you going to do with it? Make everything in your house about this. You won't have to worry about most things that people worry about with their kids. You understand? You and your husband or you and your whoever you live with, y'all spend your time talking about this. Your fighting will go way down. Because the things we fight about, they're going to burn. This right here. This is what matters. What are we doing this little part? Are we living for Him? This passage, if you look back at verse 10, it tells us that living for God is doing what these verses says. Being a minister of reconciliation, being an ambassador for Christ. That's what it actually means to live for God. People think living for God's all this crazy stuff. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. He's already told us what to do. He's already told us wherever you go. We think it's all about where we're going to go. It's not about where we're going to go. It's what we're going to do as we go. Praise the Lord. Y'all, let's stand. Nate, if something's wrong with the wire, Matt did it. Hallelujah. Let's just end our service. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the big picture. Father, I pray for all of us that we'll have eyes to see. I know it's kind of heavy on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. But I pray, Father, that we'd all see the big picture here, get a perspective. Like the old song says, the things of this world, they grow faintly dim. We look at you, we look at the glory of your face, we look at the wonder of who you are and what you've made us to be and what you've done for us in Christ and your great big plan for all of eternity. And Father, everything else just pales. And I pray, Father, that the reality of this would come alive in each of us and that this is what we would pursue and this is what we would consider and this is what we would give our attention to and acknowledge and this is what we would talk about and scheme about and plan about and strategize about. And this, Father, would be what would be on our lips and our homes. And this, Father, would be what we gather our family around and what we purpose to do as a family, what we purpose to focus on and make our mission as a family is working with you and letting you be 100% in charge of this little bit of time that we have. And Father, we just ask you to forgive us for being blind and for being distracted. And I ask you, Father, to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.